Hi, Matt McDonough. You know, there are times when you're out there looking for the most perfect podcast for you. And I'm here to let you know that you don't have to look anymore. There's a special podcast network out there called the Tangent Bound Podcast Network. They've got everything you could possibly ever look for in a podcast. Everything. So, if you're looking for something to fill your ear holes, or just something nice to listen to, head on over to tangentboundnetwork.com. Click on the channels link. Go ahead. Listen to your heart's content. Here at Tangent Bound Network, we'll leave the mics on for you.
This is Sarah Miller from Ink Master Season 2, and I have issues.
Hey guys, welcome to Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian, and I did that thing again where I started having a conversation before introducing both the show and my guest. Today's recurring guest, he was actually on the show. This is going back, this is late last year, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because you were one of our guests on the old podcast, Adrian Atlas Have Issues. So while you are a returning guest, you're technically a first-time guest considering the reboot. But yep. Either way, this is the second time I'm chatting with you on a podcast, so it's been a long time coming. So ladies and gentlemen, Steve Kassan. Steve, how's it going, man?
Doing good, man. Doing really good.
So it's been a while. So now the very first time you talked, you were currently in a series of contests to try to get your project Wasted off the ground, correct? Yeah. This is always a good place to start, though, so I'm going to start, for anyone who doesn't know, please tell them what Wasted was about.
Okay, Wasted is a zombie action stoner comedy. It's basically about a group of friends that have big adventures when a zombie apocalypse happens, but they not only fight zombies, they fight monsters, they fight mutants. The fight gangs is pretty much having fun when the whole world turns to crap. Because everything that involves an apocalypse or a reset or something catastrophic, it's always sour and it's always depressing. I mean, right. Walking Dead's a fun show. It's a good show to watch. It's a well-made show. But man, it's depressing as hell. And now Fear the Walking Dead is practically the same thing. It is depressing. But therein lies something where, wait a minute, the whole world is reset. I don't have to work. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to do any. I don't have to pay the government. Hell, I can do whatever I want. And that's what Wasted is. It's looking at the brighter side when everything turns to crap.
And we had such a great time talking about this because we, if I remember correctly, we had this whole debate on what would be like the best form to dispatch zombies, yes. Whether it be like using horseback or which weapons would be essential in killing zombies. So we had a whole bunch of fun. And since then, though, I mean, you've pretty much been all over, and not only, of course, working on Wasted and trying to get that going, but I mean, you're a filmmaker by trade, so you've been on tons of other projects. So really, in a way, what I'm asking is, what have you been up to since the last time we chatted?
Okay, well, luckily, this Saturday in Toronto has not only the Toronto International Film Festival is happening, but also alongside that is the Caribbean Tales International Film Festival, where it was this property I'm also co-produced called Out of Time. It's a time travel drama adventure. And that's premiering. We're premiering our feature cut, meaning that originally Out of Time was a mini web series purely to be made for digital content. But also we made a feature length cut out of it. So, which is an hour and 30 minutes. So we're going to premiere that at the Caribbean Tales Festival because my co-producer is from Barbados and Barbados is in the Caribbean, unless I'm wrong, unless they nuke it from somewhere else.
As if like Carmen San Diego took like the whole island and just moved it elsewhere just for shits and giggles.
Exactly. I mean, forget it. Why don't we just rename it to Genosha?
Nice.
Put all students there, you know? But the thing is that also there's a lot of Caribbean actors as well in Out of Time. So, well, it fits if you got a Caribbean cast and a Caribbean filmmaker. So, duh.
Yeah,
so,
no, it makes total sense.
Yeah. So we're premiering that there. But also, it's also to say that, yeah, you know, like, when it comes to colored folks, and okay, I'll just say it right now. When it comes to colored folks and black people, it's not just Tyler Perry movies or Hood movies. You know, we can make sci-fi properties.
Right.
There are black nerds out there. So it's just to show that, yeah, we do exist.
Exactly. And you've been talking to one this entire time. So you know what? That's what was so cool about going back to Wasted and some of your other projects that I remember seeing online is that particular trailer for that, you have a pretty diverse cast. And not even one of those ways where it's like, oh, look at me being diverse or trying to pat yourself on the back. It just seemed really cool. Like, hey, these guys are, you know, from different backgrounds. And yet it was just this great project. So it was really cool how you managed to pull that off.
And that's the thing, like when we talked about it initially, is that, you know, it's not just say, oh, look, we have diversity. Come look at us, you know? It's more say, no, these are my friends. These are the people I grew up with. And with that, and also like Wasted being a comedy, we can push the boundaries of what a zombie type thing is or a post-apocalyptic property is. With Wasted being a comedy, as I said, we can push each other in terms of like, okay, we can make fun of each other, but we know that, you know, it's cool because we take it because it's all right with us. We're friends and we grew up like that. I'm sure like when you got your friends, you know, you go beyond when you cross the line when it comes to jokes, but we're all cool. We're all tight.
Right.
It's okay. You know, if an outsider hears that, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? They go on their keyboard and start talking shit. But I'm like, no, man, it's cool. Like he can call me this. I can call him that. And it's all right. And that's the dynamic we have with the characters. It's come to that level where, yeah, it's fine. It's sort of like with the Bundys. You remember when Married with Children? They all made fun of each other. Bud called Kelly a slut all the time. But when someone else like came in and started a ruckus, they all banded together and as a family.
That's kind of how that dynamic works where I think about me and my siblings or even my best friends where it's like,
yeah.
You know, if you're not, and again, you make, it's well within, you know, reason or whatever boundaries you guys define, but if you're not kind of riffing on each other a little bit, you know, that's when you start wondering, okay, are things okay between us?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one of the main things about Wasted, as I said, like it only sticks with us friends. We don't bring anyone else into the group. No, it's just us. We just go out there. We stick it to us.
It's like the Just Us League.
Yeah, exactly. Just us. We're the mystery men. Nobody else comes in. Because once somebody else comes in, then we got problems, man. No. We keep it small. We keep it as a tight unit. 5 max. Keep it at 5. That's one of our rules. Keep it at 5. Fuel up the whip. Get more beer. Get more weed. Go get supplies. Kill anybody. You mean everybody? Anyone who has to mess with me and my survival. That's the rules for me.
But it's so funny to me because I think about shows like The Walking Dead, and I hate to go back to that, or other shows if it's Ilk, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, here you are. Well, no, Walking Dead, that's like, what, set in Georgia, is it? I can't remember where that's actually...
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm like, okay, you get a show where like a pretty, you know... big area, the zombie apocalypse. I'm like, where did all the black people go? Like, where did all the,
yeah.
Like, I don't know exactly how many like agents there are in Georgia. Like, so I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's just like, where did everybody go? I'm like, you mean to tell me that like all of a sudden, like what did the Census Bureau come in and just have like a fit?
But that's the thing. You can't have too many black people. You gotta kill them off. Michonne is like, she's safe, but you gotta kill off the rest, man.
I know, because there was Tyree. Who was the other guy?
Basically, everybody from The Wire they kill off.
Yeah, and I'm like, how do you kill off everybody from The Wire? That show's amazing. See, hey. Stringer Bell wouldn't put up with that shit.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Hell no.
See, there we go. They're missing a golden opportunity. What they should do is remake The Wire, all original cast, but do it in Baltimore during a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, my gosh. That'll be something. You know what? They should get Avon Barksdale in Walking Dead. Or at least Fear the Walking Dead. Throw in Avon.
Wait, wasn't he in one of those like sci-fi zombie type shows? Or not, wasn't zombies. I could have sworn he was in like something recently. Well, I don't know. They pop up everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like also with zombies, it's getting tiresome as well. So like we want to change it up. So we're gonna add in. Bring, like, as I said, mutants, we're gonna add in monsters. Like, hell, even Resident Evil changed up.
Right.
Like, they knew, like, you can't stick with zombies, like, forever. They added Nemesis. Then even Resident Evil 4, they changed the whole thing.
Now, 4, was that the one? Oh, that's right, that was the one, Leon, where you're, like, in Europe?
Yeah. Yeah, in some, like, Portuguese village.
Oh, that game still scares the crap out of me so much.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It was just that game. It wasn't frightening because it's like, you know, how like the first few games were scary. But the idea of you're one guy in this area where there's like massive amount of villagers, like that one scene, like the first level where you enter the house, all of a sudden they all start storming the house and you have to like survive for like 4 or 5 minutes. And they start like putting up ladders. There's a guy with a chainsaw. And I'm just like, come on. Like, see that way. And then it's like, okay, I got 2 bullets left and I have to somehow kill 30 monsters.
Yeah. Like, what do you expect me to do? Then I got to go see the other guy. What does he say all the time? When you go for your inventory list?
Oh, yes.
There's the weird looking guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's like, the robot or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was his name? This is going to kill me now.
What was his name? Boy, we got the internet. We can look it up.
I'm going to look it up right now. Resident Evil 4 in...
Oh, YouTube. BoobTube. Let's see.
What was it like? What was he kind of like a...
He always like... Yeah, it was a merchant, yeah. He's like, what would be your pleasure? Something like that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's funny. Like, you go on YouTube, there's actually like a whole clip on all of his quotes.
Oh, yeah. The merchant quotes. Yeah, this guy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, they have modded him, too. Oh, we can spend hours doing this instead of... talking we're supposed to do.
I'm probably gonna get like sued by Capcom for playing this. I don't know if you can hear this or not.
I know. But wait, hey, if Capcom takes notice, that's good. Sue me.
I've only got one cease and desist from like a music blog once. That was fun.
Oh really?
Oh, let me turn this off. It was funny because on and off, I'm trying to start it back up. I haven't done it in a year, but I do this music blog called Hop Snobbery, and it's basically like a bunch of indie rock unsigned bands. And there's a band, I think they were from the UK. They had released this video that I posted. And I guess when I released the video, when I posted it, you know, I tagged them in it. I got an email from the singer, and she was thanking me. It's like, oh, thanks for all, you know, the kind words and everything, but... how did you get a hold of this video? And I'm like, what do you mean, how did you get a hold of this video? It was posted on their YouTube page, but I guess their management team or somebody must have posted it without their knowledge. She's like, thanks a lot, but is it okay if you take it down? Because it turns out that wasn't supposed to go up yet.
Oh, then why the hell is it on YouTube page?
Yeah, and I'm like, I didn't do anything illegal, but it was already on your YouTube page, and I sent her the link, and she confirmed, and it's like, okay, cool. So tell you what, when we release the finished version, then, you know, you'll at least have the real one. So I'm like, shoot. At one end, I felt, like, kind of really embarrassed, because I'm like, well, I wasn't trying to do anything illegal, but at the same time, it's like, hey, they're paying attention enough to, you know, tell me about it, so.
Yeah, exactly. They're paying attention. And they should put a finished version up. Damn. What's wrong with these?
Yeah, I was like, it was so weird. I'm like, how did they, then who posted this? I guess maybe someone from their team got a little overzealous, but yeah, man, Resident Evil, that was awesome. Did you play 6?
No, I stopped at 5.
Oh, good. I was about to say, if you haven't played 6,
yeah.
It's an interesting idea because there's 3 different storylines with, you know, 2 characters each, but each scenario is supposed to play differently. Like, Leon and his partner, it's supposed to be, like, your traditional going into the creepy houses and, like, abandoned areas Resident Evil. Then you get Chris and his partner, who they're supposed to be, like, these elite soldiers. So theirs is more of a shooter. And then, like, the third one's supposed to fall somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And it was a good idea, but it's just, like, nothing made sense in that game. And it was just aggressively awful.
Oh, damn. Ugh. Wait, is that the way? Is 6 in Haiti?
Well, 1 was in like some European country. Was it France or Russia?
Yeah, 4 is in France. No, I mean 4 is in that place in like, yeah, in the European country.
Yeah, I think 4, 5 was like the one that was like in Africa, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So then, where was 6? And that's the thing, 6. I don't even know where 6, like where it was.
Ugh.
That's how little I cared about that game. So by now, it's near the beginning of September, close to the middle. And well, summer's over. How many movies did you get to check out this summer?
I caught a bunch. Not everything, but I caught, like, I guess all the major ones, I would say.
Are you able to do like maybe like a top? I was going to say top five, which may be a little bit
sure.
difficult, but.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Let's see. Let's go top three, because three might be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So I would say summer movie wise, what were your top three favorites?
Top three of this year? This summer. Okay, so number three, Mad Max Fury Road.
Really? That's your number three? Now I'm shocked because I know that ranks high on a lot of people's lists, so now I'm really interested to hear what your first two are.
It's very close. It's very close. It's Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, see, I didn't even get a chance to see that yet.
Yeah. For me, I think Straight Outta Compton is the movie of the summer.
All right, so now that we're talking about this, so we might get to some spoilers here, so if you haven't seen this, you might want to maybe jump ahead or anything. All right, so now I'm interested. Yeah. So what is it about this movie that you found so captivating?
For me, honestly, is that having lived through the period, and also, wait, so you still talk about spoilers. Spoilers for what? Life? What do you mean? For music? What? Easy's dead. There you go. Dr. Dre owns a billion-dollar company.
But can you believe, though, these are the same people that when, like every time, like, let's say Hunger Games or, like, Lord of the Rings would come out, they'd be like, oh, don't spoil it for me. I'm like, these are books.
Yeah, it's there already. Just go Wikipedia. I mean, hell, you know how Ice Cube turned out. He's making Disney money. Shit.
See, unfortunately, you had to...
What do you mean spoil it for? How did these guys become famous? I don't know. Look, go to MTV.
But here's the scary part, though. That was what, late 80s, early 90s? Yeah, yeah. Enough time has passed that there's someone who probably went to go see that movie, maybe someone younger, who probably had no idea that like Ice Cube was a gangster rapper.
Yeah, that's true. But
and that's scary to me, though. But okay,
that is very scary. But then again, like when it comes to, like say like when we were growing up, then someone... one of my uncles told me, Clint Eastwood was a badass. I'm like, Clint Eastwood? And then he showed me all these old cowboy movies. Like, oh, wow, yeah, he was a badass. Yeah. So I guess, like, it's generational. But then you still got to undo your history and see, okay, like, what's the deal with these guys, right? And yeah.
You'd be shocked how many people don't do that, though.
I know. So. And the thing is, we have the internet.
Like, we just use the internet to look up some guy from Resident Evil 4, so I'm sure people can use it for far more educational purposes.
Exactly. You know, anybody listening, go listen to Ice Cube's first four albums, America's Most Wanted, Death Certificate, and the other two. Lethal Injection, and there's one more. Yeah, his first four solo albums.
See, I was always bigger, like, I guess, East Coast hip-hop, so unfortunately, it was a little bit later on before I kind of started to listen to those guys.
Here we go, The Predator, that's the one. The Predator. So, America's Most Wanted, Death Certificate, Predator, and Lethal. But then Ice Cube did come over to the East, right? Started working with Public Enemy and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Which, of course, by that time, he's starting to do movies and such. All right, we're getting off track.
Sorry. Yeah, that's okay. So America's Most Wanted. Not America's Most Wanted, Straight Outta Compton. For me, why that I think is a movie of summer is there's a really big energy about it. It's 2 hours, but the 2 hours goes by so fast. And for me personally, there's an energy about it when you watch it, and there's a vibrancy to it. It also calls back to my childhood and seeing things which I saw and I lived through, not like lived through in Easton and Compton and all that, but lived through the music. And seeing how these individuals like started from like really started from the bottom, to quote Drizzy, but really started from the streets and how they became huge superstars. And the film practically solidifies that, yeah, these people, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, even MC Ren, and they are pop culture icons now. For example, I did a couple of days of a background on Suicide Squad when they were shooting in Toronto, and see some of the production assistants, with this one production assistant girl wore a t-shirt of Ice Cube when he had the Jerry curl and everything. And to me, when you have your face on a t-shirt, you become an icon, right? It's like, that's the ultimate thing, is like have someone else wear your face on a t-shirt. That's unimaginable. So to me, it solidifies that. And it's a feeling that when you watch, I would say, when you watch a movie, you get, to me, it's like you get that really like cool, raw feeling about it. And the thing is that Straight Outta Compton really showcases that. To me, and I think it's great. It's honestly a movie of the summer. It totally beats everything else. However, though, my number one film that I've seen so far, and I think it's, for me personally, the best film of the year, is Dope.
I was about to just say that. That was definitely in my list. How great was that movie?
That's a cool movie. That is the best movie of the year. I think so.
And it's amazing. Like, the budget for that movie was, like, I don't want to say non-existent, mm-hmm. but it was what, made for what, like, only like a few million, if that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm actually going to look this up while you talk. I'm going to look this up because it was like a really weird, like, low number for as far as how much like they made that movie for and then how much they ended up grossing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also for Dope for me is that it's a mix. How I described it to others, yeah, it's a mix of like Juice and geek properties.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of like your teen caper movies.
Yeah.
Like, remember like when John Cusack used to do like those movies like One Crazy Summer and what was the other one? Like, not Better Off Dead. What the heck is the other one? Like, you know what I mean? Like those weird sort of like those hapless dorks kind of get into these stupid situations.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Pennsylvania at a convention, and as soon as I left the convention, like across the street from the hall, there was a movie theater. I'm like, oh shoot, let's see what's out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I wanted to see Dope. The theater was relatively empty. It was like me and maybe like four other people.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the movie. I enjoyed it, but when I left, I'm like, I had no opinion about it. I'm like, well, that, you know, that was, you know, some good use of my time.
Yeah.
And then it literally took about 3 days to think back on it. And like, holy shit, that movie was incredible.
Yeah. It's a really incredible movie. And I think also like for when it, how it relates to Straight Outta Compton, for me, growing up listening to the music, also Dope showcases and gives people who don't know this whole subculture of nerds, the black nerd or the colored.
Right.
Right. Like you and I, like, as I said, we're out of time. Yeah, we do exist.
And it was so funny because I was cracking up at that one part where he mentions that his favorite band was the Thermals. And I'm like, I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's one of my favorite bands. And it's like, you never would have known that from looking at this kid.
Yeah, I'm into white people shit, like anime and Donald Glover, so, which is true.
I think I was probably the darkest person in that theater out of like the four or five others. And there were certain lines that just like I laughed a little too hard at because I could tell there was the one lady next to me that kept looking over. I guess she was like, am I allowed to laugh at that? I'm like, look, if I'm laughing, I think you should be okay.
And it's crazy because like most of the like guys I know or other filmmakers I know who are not only black but also brown, and we talk about Dragon Ball Z all the time with our Chinese and Vietnamese friends, right? It's like we're all quoting about Dragon Ball Z and we're all quoting about Full Metal Alchemist and all these other anime properties. And it's just crazy. I read this article about problems of a black nerd and how when you look at what a nerd is still on TV, it's still, you get your stereotype of what you think a nerd is supposed to look like, you know?
Right.
But there is also the subculture and there's other group out there. Also, the fact is, what Dope also brings about is that, okay, where does the main character, Malcolm, where does he fit in? Like, he's not really black, but he's not really accepted as a nerd. You know what I mean? So he falls into this middle ground. And that's where, like, some of my friends, some of my filmmaker friends also fall in, too. Like, I know one of my buddies, his dad is, like, pure, like, OG. But then when you look at him, it's like, okay, you know?
He's like, wait, so how did this happen?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? You don't play basketball, man? What's wrong with you?
I'll play a contact sport if I have to, but the idea of running and dribbling is a concept I still haven't gotten a hold of. So
and that's the thing with TV and movies, right? Like even the culture moves fast on the street, but on TV it doesn't reflect that as much. It's not fast enough.
No, and it's a snail's pace if you really think about it. Like, they're just now catching up to things that were going on, like, let's say the 90s, and they've moved so far beyond what's really going on. And that's why it's even funny that so many things that people considered either underground or, like, a subculture, like, not really. And especially with how geek culture or whatever has now expanded into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Now there's no excuse as to why you're still portraying it in this one particular light when now there's so many examples as to why that's not true anymore.
But also, you know, with geek culture is that, is it already popular culture? Is it already franchise culture, you know?
That is true.
Because, okay, you can say like, oh, I'm a geek because I watch Star Wars movies. I watch Star Trek. And I like Batman because, you know, Batman's everything. Yeah, because he's Batman. Well, asshole, Batman's been around for like 75 years. Like, friggin' Star Wars has made all this gazillions of money. It's owned by Disney. Star Trek has how many series, like, based on it? Of course you're going to see something. Yeah, of course you're going to see something. You know, it's popular TV. It's popular culture. It's not, like, a geek property. If you told me that, yeah, you know, my favorite superhero is Night Thrasher. Okay. Then we got something.
I don't think Night Thrasher is anybody's favorite. If he's yours, I apologize, because I think I might have just insulted you.
No. But he is a cool character, though.
Nothing against him, but I just don't know how many people would say, like, that would be theirs.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? If you told me that, okay, my favorite character of all time is Moon Knight, and okay, you know, that's
something. Oh, he's definitely on that list, though.
Yeah.
When we first talked to you on the other podcast, yeah, you know, you had professed your love of Daredevil as, like, one of your favorite superheroes. Mm-hmm. At a time, and especially even when, you know, when you made that declaration, yeah, the comics were getting a little bit more popular, because I know Mark Waid's run was very... Yeah. Was very good, very well received. But then a Netflix show came out, and now that's like,
I know
he's been upgraded. He's like, he's not even really like a D-lister anymore. So it's like, shoot,
yeah.
It's like, you know, an obscure character like that is now, you know, put in the forefront. So I guess I shouldn't say nothing's safe, but it's definitely
yeah. Like, everyone's on Devil's Dick right now. So
I almost want to make that the name of the episode, but I don't think people would understand.
But it's true. Like, it's funny because, like, Fan Expo just happened here in Toronto. And I remember, like, a couple of years ago, like, I can only find, like, one or two Daredevil stuff to buy. But to this year, I bought, like, two hats, the two Daredevil hats, a Daredevil wallet. There were tons of other shirts going on. So, I mean, it's great that the character's getting more thing.
It is kind of jarring because there's something that you're so used to really only a few people knowing. Yeah. To now it being like, and I'm not gonna lie, like, it's at the end of the day, it is very cool, but there's always still that part of you that's like, it's hard to get a grasp of, like, man, who would have thought this was a thing?
But you know, at the end of the day, if a property of which I'm in becomes this overnight success and we're getting paid, if Adrian Has Issues is on iTunes, become the biggest thing, you get called up into Sirius, Howard Stern's like, Adrian, I want you to be on Sirius, and people pay to listen to you, you know what, that's all good. Fine. Take it.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I'd be like, wait, I think the first episode would be me just asking a question. It's like, all right, to you's listening. Like, why are you doing this? You know, this used to be free, right?
It's like, no, I want to listen to your issues, man.
Well, you're going to hear that, though, but, oh, man. See, now it's like, I'm so glad someone else had seen Dope, and I'm actually wondering, though, do you think there's any hope for it during award season? Or is it too early to have a release?
I think it's too indie. I think it's too let's be honest, it's too black, it's too geek, you know.
And that would be a shame because I think, okay, look at it this way. I just pulled up the numbers. Let's see, its budget was $700,000 estimated.
Yeah,
it grossed at this point it's like $16 million as of August 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that it's kind of like one of those indie success stories that, and it's funny to me that, and I hate to, you know, play that card because part of me almost doesn't want to, but yet we've heard more about the failure of Fantastic Four.
I know. We've
heard about the success of Dope.
I know, which is another like messed up thing.
Don't get me wrong. I hate up that story left and right from a sheer, I guess, always being a fan of film. I'm sorry. I'm that person who I always love hearing like the ins and outs of like, you know, when the studios and filmmakers go back to back, because that's something that you don't really hear too much of. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, years ago, like as far as Apocalypse Now being like one of the most well-received movies of all time. And then, of course, what was the documentary, Heart of Darkness?
Yeah. And then you hear all the horror stories. Oh my gosh, what happened to these guys?
Could you imagine if there was like Facebook and Twitter during that?
Oh, imagine Facebook and Twitter like when the Star Wars was filming. People were like, what the hell is this stupidness? Luke Skywalker? That's a stupid name.
Oh man, that's
Chewbacca? You got a 7 foot. Oh, what the Wookiee? Oh, this thing's so going to fail. Hashtag don't see it. Hashtag fail. Fail film.
At this time, we always talk about how it was this huge success story, but no one ever talks about the behind the scenes. And did the studio really actually did Fox really think it was going to be that successful of a movie, or did they think it was going to tank? Like, those are the stories you don't really hear much anymore, because it's all kind of become legend now, where you like to think that everybody all of a sudden knew that this thing was going to be this massive success. But I can imagine, as you're putting that movie together, a studio exec saying, like, we're going to be broke. We're in the toilet.
Yeah. Then you get all these idiots, like, online talking trash about your movie before it ever comes out. Like, whoa, hold on a minute.
Because I guess at that point, I'm sure, like, I can imagine half the people being very confused, like, seeing, I guess, whatever advertisements there were. Because, of course, I'm sure once they saw the movie, then they, like, ran home and it's like, holy shit, dude, you got to check out the Star Wars movie that just came out.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, if you take away all the fandom and all the nostalgia we have for Star Wars, it's really corny as hell, right?
It really is. I mean, I love it to death, but, I mean, especially those first few, I mean, wow.
Okay, everybody loves Han, right?
Right.
But then if you're really watching it with fresh eyes and you have no nostalgia towards it or anything or influence, and you're looking at this guy, he's a jerk. Why am I liking this guy? You know?
It's funny. Have you ever read, I think it was a comic. It was called The Star Wars, where they took Lucas' original script before all the rewrites and all the changes, and they made a comic, I think, based on those original treatments.
Yeah.
And
I have heard of it, but I haven't actually read the thing.
Oh, if you get a chance to check them out, and it's like, as far as you say how corny it probably seemed at first,
yeah,
it was much, I shouldn't say worse, but it was definitely, it was not the same thing, and you're almost glad that they made a lot of the decisions that they did at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have this Star Wars like art book, and they have all the older illustrations, or the initial designs of C-3PO and Darth Vader and everything like that. I was like, when some of these designs are like, oh, good thing they changed it. Well, I don't know. It might have looked cool. Who knows? Darth Vader was more samurai because Star Wars was based on this one Kurosawa film called Hidden Fortress. And it was basically, Hidden Fortress was basically, it was set in feudal Japan. And it was basically these two guards, they're just walking away from a battle and they get caught up in this weird adventure. And their representations were R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Oh.
Yeah. So all you listening out there, watch Hidden Fortress. It's black and white. It's in 1950s. It's in Japanese. It's Criterion. There's subtitles. Don't complain.
So wait, people complain about Criterion?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's a black and white movie, right? If you get new people like watching film, you know, or maybe like kids watching movies, oh, it's black and white, what the hell is this?
And I'm not gonna lie, I was that kid early on at first when, you know, my mom used to watch back when AMC used to do like those nothing but classic movies. You know, I used to moan and groan and was like, oh, these are boring and dreadful. But of course, like years later, you're like, you know what? I could sit there and watch these all day.
Yeah, me too. I can watch it.
Like, it's so funny. Like, Mom, I was at my dad's house for a couple of days. I'm over the weekend, Labor Day weekend. And it's like, we're sitting there, we're watching. It's like, okay, we could watch Mad Max. All right, that's on digital. I think there was, I'm not sure if Avengers. No, it wasn't Avengers. You know, a couple of new movies that were out. Big budget movies. All right, fine. Like, we were almost like small children. Like, when we found out that we missed Magnificent Seven.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was that, and was like, it was Silverado, and there was like a bunch of like old westerns or just like these classic films that every time he would turn to the channel they were ending, and it's like, shoot, I've become that guy already. Like, I'm not even 31 yet. Like, this is bad.
Well, unless it's a Kanye West video or Bobby Shmurda, then black and white and something doesn't really pass.
See, that's what they should do. Get Kanye West to remake classic like Kurosawa movies.
Oh my God, I don't know if that's the worst thing or like the most interesting thing to see.
Now, and the thing is, you don't play it for a joke, you know, you don't put like Seth Rogen in it. You put Kanye West as the main character and have him remake these movies completely straight-laced. Like, this is a serious production. Every cinephile would probably like stone me to death, but I think it'd be worth the laughs.
But you know what though, like when he made that, was it the 30-minute short film?
Yeah.
Off his album? It was pretty good. It was really interesting to watch on a visual level. So it could work.
it could work, but then you're also talking about somebody who, all right, it's one thing if you hand them, like, you know, either music or whatever, but I'm talking like just straight dialogue and like really intense emoting.
Well, I would say Kanye shouldn't act in it. He should only direct it and also score it. But everything else, give it to other people. Terrence Howard.
Where is he? Well, no, he's on, what is it, Empire?
Empire.
Now? Yeah. All right, because is he still angry about the whole Iron Man thing? Because every time I turn around, there's another article where he's like calling out Robert Downey Jr. and all this.
Who knows? He's got Empire money, man. He's got Fox money.
Yeah, congratulations. He's one of the few Fox shows that's seen a second season.
I know. How can this be? People like this show? Wow.
And I'm like, I think about all the shows, like, okay, this took off, and yet Almost Human got canceled, and I'm still heartbroken about that.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah. I know, that was a good show. But then again, how far would it go? It almost felt like a movie. It felt like a movie idea put into a show.
You think so?
Well, again, how long could it go? It could have gone, right?
Well, I mean, if it was one of those things that if they described it as, like, let's say a miniseries, because TV is finally embracing the miniseries again, or I should say, like, network television, like, where they're now starting to go back to that idea of having shows, whether it's maybe a miniseries or having, like, shorter seasons where it's, like, maybe 12 episodes as opposed to, like, 25.
Yeah. If it did that, then, yeah, it could have worked.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, you're led to believe that, like, it was just kind of getting started, and it was a little like a cop procedural at first, but, yeah, you could have really toyed around with some things if maybe they had a bigger budget, but, like, I felt like it was just starting to come into its own, and then it got the axe, and I'm like, oh, this is a bummer.
So, yeah, I just got a recently updated Windows 10.
Not working out, I take it?
No, need to clean up my porn hard drives.
See, that's why I gotta get the external hard drive, man.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. That's true. It's like, okay, I guess it's thanks Windows 10.
Oh boy, you know you're in trouble when you need an extra storage unit just for all of that at once.
Why don't they ask Bill Gates these questions? Like, Bill, we got a huge porn collection. What do you do? What do you recommend? Well, you better use some Windows external hard drive, that's for sure.
I'm sure whoever designed that, I'm willing to bet, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's one of the first things they thought of.
I know, it's like, oh, what are we going to do with all this porn? Our hard drive can't hold it. External hard drive, man. It's the future. Yes.
And you know what's funny, though? Like, external hard drives, like, for instance, my old laptop, I poured water into it, and like, it killed the power supply. Thankfully, the hard drive was intact. I was able to get, like, this wire from Amazon. And basically what it does is it connects, like, let's say, like, a laptop hard drive via USB into, I guess, another computer or laptop. And so basically now it acts as an external device. So really, all most external hard drives are just like your regular computer hard drive with just some fancy casing.
Oh, nice.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, though, but I'm pretty sure it works the same way. I don't even remember what we were talking about before.
We were ending Almost Human.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I was done with that.
But your top three.
Now, this is tough, though, because I was already invested in the fact that Avengers, once again, was going to be my favorite movie of the summer.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly. I loved it. And I'm sure once it comes out on Blu-ray, I'm going to love it even more. However, Mad Max kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That movie had been, what, over 10 years in the making? More than that? Like, George Miller had been trying to get that movie off the ground. He was going to make it, then 9/11 happened, and then Mel Gibson went crazy, and all this stuff was going on that, for whatever reason, they just couldn't get this movie made. So by the time it happened, I'm like, I'm not that interested in Mad Max. Like, all right, Charlize Theron looks kind of cool. She's got the buzz cut. Tom Hardy's in it. He's pretty awesome. You know, so I'll get around to seeing it. Was not expecting it to be that good. But then, like, the day it came out, Twitter just blew up.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Like, I think the UK got it first, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And, like, the reviews were, like, unanimous for it. And then it got over here. The more people were talking about it. And I was originally going to go... I wanted to go see it in, like, an IMAX or, like, a large screen, but I'm like, you know what? If this doesn't do well, I've already spent like close to $30 on this movie. So you know what? I'm going to go further into my town. There's a little small theater up the road from me. I'm going to go see it there. And I saw it on a small rinky dink screen. No one was in there except for me, these kids behind me, and then there's like another young couple like up in like the way back in the theater. Mm-hmm. And of course, before the movie starts, the kids behind me, they're all, you know, they're laughing, they're giggling. I'm like, oh, come on, they're not going to ruin this for me, are they? Once that movie got going, nobody spoke.
And yeah, it shut them up. Yeah,
I had ordered this giant soda because it was hot as hell. I finished half it before like the third trailer was over. I had to go to the bathroom, but I'm like, I can't miss a minute of this. I will soil my own clothing before I miss a minute of this movie. And it's weird because I can't say that I haven't seen anything like it because I have, but what it did, it did very well.
Yeah, well, you can say that you haven't seen anything like it in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, because this is definitely like they made a totally 80s movie. Like a movie where it just didn't care. It did its own thing, pretty much.
Yeah, like you got a little bit of character development. Well, you know what it is? There was plenty of character development, but they did it in such a way where the movie didn't have to stop to explain things. It just went.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, if you didn't know what was going on, tough shit, we're driving into the next thing.
All the Mad Max movies worked as westerns.
Right.
And this is exactly like just another western. You got the gunslinger that comes into town. You got the main bad guy who holds the town captive or who rules the town. And, you know, a bunch of people escape with the prizes. The gunslinger helps them. Then there's just a chase in the desert. It's pretty much the same thing. But it's done really well with all the combat and everything and so forth.
And that's what that was so great about it. And to tell you the truth, though, I'm not going to say I was bored by Max / Tom Hardy. I wasn't. But again, Furiosa, Charlize Theron, she just sold that movie for me. And it could have just been her shooting at people as she's driving, like the war rig. And it would have been like one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, she just killed it.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Max is just basically just a way for you to get introduced to the world of Furiosa, because it's pretty much Furiosa's movie.
Right. He's kind of like the viewpoint character.
Yeah. And the best example is that if you pick up a Conan comic book, and you get Conan brings you into the world of Red Sonja, and then it's pretty much a Red Sonja story. You just need that one established character to help introduce this other character. Because there's really not much to explain for Max, except if you've seen the other movies, you know what Max is, then yeah. If you haven't seen it, then you get a little backstory as to who Max is. And he's pretty much, that's who he is the whole way. But then he introduces you to this new character.
There were characters in that movie I wasn't expecting to care for. Like in the first couple of scenes, what's the war boy? Nux was his name. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I can't wait for this kid to just hurry up and just, you know, bite the dust already. Cause he was just like, he just kept coming back. And like, he was almost like this little, he was almost like this parasite that just kept latching on to everybody. But then by the end of that movie, you're just like, you feel about as bad as for him as you do Furiosa and her storyline. And it's just this movie did. I've never seen a movie do so much and yet move so fast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's a 2-hour movie, too.
And it doesn't feel like it, though. It feels like it really just kind of, it just breezes by pretty quickly. But yet you get this entire universe and everything is pretty much established. And there weren't too many instances of, wait, so what was that about? Or wait, how do you explain that? I'm like, yeah, it would be cool to get a little bit more backstory and turns out how did, like, you know, Joe take over and whatnot, but you really didn't need to. And that's just that, as far as that goes, few movies do that and do it well. So that's definitely up there on the list.
But again, it's some things you don't need that much of backstory. You just presented with, okay, this is Martin Joe. He's taken over, and you just give him clues as to who he is, and you come up with your own your ideas about who this Martin Joe character is and how did he came about. It's kind of like with you know how they're going to make an origin movie for Boba Fett?
Right.
But really, do you need to make an origin movie of Boba Fett? Why not just tell a story about Boba Fett?
Right. You already know his origin story, and they told that in episode 2.
Yeah. You don't need to showcase, how he became this and this and this and this. Like, some characters, it's cool that there's a mythos about them, and you come up with your own ideas. That makes it even better. Well, whereas maybe if you try to explain more, it's like, oh, okay, all right.
I guess he really can't call it an origin story because, again, we already know it. Like, you know, he's a clone. His father was a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And, well, this kid pretty much watches his father get decapitated by, you know, one of the most badass Jedi ever.
I know, yeah.
And then it's, I guess, well, he's this angry young kid who, I guess, is now forced to... You almost kind of wonder, though, how the hell did he get off that planet?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what the movie will be about. This guy getting off the planet.
You're like, all right, so meanwhile, after all the Jedi leave, as they're chasing, you know, the Count Dooku and everybody else, they're like, anyone leave a kid behind? Like, is someone going to go get this guy?
Oh, he's just a kid. Nobody cares about
him. Now, how cool would it be if it turns out he was stuck on that planet for years? And it's like, what movie was it, the one with the last Riddick movie where he's like on this hostile planet, he's forced to survive?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how great would it be if it just turns out that, like, Boba Fett, like, he just was stuck on, I can't remember, Geonosis, was it? I can't remember the name of that planet, where he's just stuck there for years and, like, basically forced to fend for himself, which kind of causes him to be a lot more angry than we let him on to be.
It would be cool to see, but also think about, like, okay, you're told about, okay, how his backstory, you're just told about it for like 5 minutes. You, the viewer, you, the fan, you come up with your own ideas of how we escape the planet and anything like that. I don't know. It's either give me everything or I'll come up with everything.
Right.
It's either two different types of people.
I do like that one fan theory, though, that Boba Fett was the one that killed Anakin's remaining family. That's why he actually, he hates him.
Oh, okay.
I forgot where I heard this. This isn't mine. It might have been like crack.com, one of those type of articles. But remember, this is going back. This is 1977. This is A New Hope, episode 4, or Star Wars, yeah, as the old heads call it. That scene when Luke comes back after getting the droids and his house is like blowing up and his aunt and uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Owen.
Yeah, they're like skeletons or whatever. Obi-Wan makes a comment about the fact that the shots were too accurate to be troopers.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, okay, well, that sucks. Then I guess later on was Empire Strikes Back when Darth Vader is giving a briefing to all the bounty hunters. And he's like, you can use any sort of means that you wish. And then Darth Vader turns directly to Boba Fett and points at him. He's like, no disintegrations. And I guess this fan theory basically surprised that somehow Vader knew that it was actually Boba Fett that killed the last of his family, and he's really pissed about it. He can't stand this guy, especially, but yet he's so desperate to find, you know, his kids that he's, you know, he's basically going for broke.
Yeah.
Which I think there were more elements to that theory, but it was kind of amusing. But it also kind of gives Vader a little bit more humanity because it's like, okay, yeah, he's this badass Lord of the Sith, but he was still upset to find out that, you know, the last of his family, other than his kids, have been wiped out in a senseless killing.
I say, contact JJ. Hey, JJ, this is Adrian. What do you think about this?
Oh, believe me. Like,
try that. Tweet him. Yeah, JJ. I have this podcast, Adrian and the Issues. We came up with this theory.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
if
I came
JJ Abrams comes on this show, are you kidding me? Like, I think I would... When you have someone on the show and you're kind of a fan of them, it's hard to have a conversation without coming off as like that really annoying Uber geek.
Yeah.
But I would have to ask him about so many of his other movies before we even got to Star Wars. I mean, Super 8 alone was incredible.
You got to ask him about Felicity. That's one.
Oh, forget about everything man. Else. Really? That Felicity. Was his too?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
That was before Lost, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I would have to ask him. And I was like, all right, so whose decision was it to cut her hair? Because, you know, they ruined the show.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. What the hell, you? You had something great going on. And then she had to cut her hair.
And watch her be like, you know what, you son of a bitch, and then hang up. Like, I'm responsible for the guy who got J.J. Abrams angry.
But you know what, like, it's the Twitterverse. Might as well. Hey, just give a shout. You never know. Chances are no, but who knows? Stranger shit has happened.
That is very true. That is very true. So before we go, though, okay, we talked about your favorite summer movies. Do you have any that, I don't want to say they were the worst, but did you have a few that maybe you didn't particularly care for?
Well, not really. I would say a disappointment, or it kind of like solidified the disappointment, was Fantastic Four.
Okay, so you did see it.
Yeah. I went to the theater. to see it. Uh-huh.
Now this is so this is the first time I've actually talked to anybody who has seen the movie, because everybody else, and almost rightfully so, kind of avoided it. So what was your take on the whole thing?
It's really an unfinished film, even though they have a film out. It's not a dark and gritty film. They were doing something interesting. You can see where Josh Trank and all these guys, the different take they were going with it. It's a very sci-fi film about a bunch of kids, and they find interdimensional travel.
Okay.
And they get to do that. And then when they get their powers, is all the crazy stuff that happens to them. And it's almost in a very realistic way in how they become tools of the military. And they're just kids, so they don't know. They're just trusting what their Dr. Storm is saying, or their surrogate dad, or their guardian is telling them to do, to find a cure and everything. Everything leading up to when Doom goes back to his planet is really great. I would encourage everyone to check that out. When they go to fight Doom, that's when they add in the Marvel formula, and it becomes total trash, because it's two different movies.
Right, that's what I heard, that essentially the studio was mad because Josh Trank had went out of his way to, I guess, make a more of a story-driven kind of movie, and then at that point, I guess the studio, they wanted more of a, you know, your typical action movie, summer movie fare.
Yeah, I think I read this one thing after test screenings, and I would say the reception was negative from the early test screening I read. But when you see it, but have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. However, I did follow a lot of the back and forth, like a lot of the drama, because Josh Trank, you know, he made his statements, the studio did this, and there is this whole account of all of these things that went on. And to tell you the truth, you really don't know who to believe, because there's so much spin involved, and because everybody's at this point trying to keep themselves from looking like the bad guy. And going back to where we're talking about Apocalypse Now, that's going to be a hell of a documentary in a couple of years.
Oh, totally. Hell yeah. You got two finished acts, the first and second, and you got 5 minutes of the ending, basically. And it's really an unfinished movie. And the ending is only 5 minutes. It's pretty much the same thing in the original Tim Story Fantastic Four movies. Yeah, they get together. They got to use their powers. They got to fight. It's pretty much the Marvel Avengers formula. Beat the bad guy and voila. But it's two different tones. It's two different movies. It's a crazy thing.
I've been doing this thing lately, and maybe it's not even necessarily a good thing, but I've been watching like a lot of movies, especially your big budget movies, and doing this thing where I try to determine, okay, how much of this was the writer, how much of this was the director, and how much of this was the studio that said, okay, this needs to change. And not going to lie, as much as I love the movie, you could definitely feel that with Age of Ultron a little bit.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. It's crazy. Remember when I made that tweet last week about Captain America, Winter Soldier?
Oh, yeah. And I was almost I was almost tempted to make this entire episode about that movie, because it's just that good.
Well, it could be. It's been 5 minutes. Every time I watch Winter Soldier, it's like, okay, this is not really a superhero movie.
Not at all.
No, this is I don't want to say legit movie.
It plays more like a thriller than like your standard superhero movie.
Yeah, it's something that kind of breaks out of the superhero genre, in a sense, right?
Right. I felt that same way about Ant-Man, because someone had said this a while ago, and it made kind of sense to me. It made a little bit of sense to me, where someone had said the one thing about, let's say, the Marvel movies that's sort of been, while people claim that they all kind of play out the same, but at the end of the day, like, they're playing with other genres within that formula. Like Winter Soldier is like this action spy thriller. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy is more of your kind of like your almost Star Wars type.
Yeah, that is adventure.
You know, yeah. Ant-Man was like a heist movie and so on and so forth. And now they're saying that Doctor Strange is gearing up to be like almost like the supernatural film that isn't like, sure, there's going to be heroes and villains at the end of the day, but it's not that same sort of, that same thing that you get from maybe some of the other movies. And that's kind of interesting that even with that formula, they're still tweaking it a little bit, so you can actually see other genres at play. Mm-hmm. And Winter Soldier is like the best example.
Yeah, and like Winter Soldier, but thing also, going back to Ant-Man, it does have some heist elements in it, but it still follows the Iron Man formula and everything. It's all, everything's all connected and everything's all touched up in a pretty package and everything like that, in a sense. Like, there are some great moments in that, man. Michael Peña. Yeah,
Michael Peña. Oh, man. I think he walked away being the favorite in that entire movie.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, all that stuff is really awesome. But thing is, like, when you look at Winter Soldier, it's like, they're doing little things here and there. It's like, whoa, like they actually got away with this, you know? It's like nobody at Marvel or Disney, like, overlooked it. It's like, hey, wait a minute. What are you guys doing here? You can tell, like, you can really tell when you watch the movie that this is what the Russo's intention of doing. And it just plays out as, like, it's really hard to describe. Except that when you watch it, you will understand.
It's, you know, what it's like confidence. It's confidence in the fact that the Russos, because, like, okay, let's take the Thor movies, for instance.
Yeah.
You can tell that there was a little bit of uneasiness in how to approach the movies. Did they want them to be sci-fi? Did they want them to be more action? Did they want to be romances? There's a lot of weird tonal shifts with, like, let's say the Thor movies. And even, like, let's say with the last two Iron Man movies, because, I mean, granted, I'm a fan of all three of them for different reasons. But the third one, I would say definitely the third one, where there's a lot of dramatic elements, you know, they're playing with the fact that Tony Stark, you know, he's dealing with a lot of PTSD because, well, he basically died in space and, you know, fell back to Earth through a friggin' wormhole. You know, that kind of screwed with him. And yet there's a lot of comical elements, and you're saying to yourself, well, it's kind of weird to see him, a guy who's in such dire straits, still kind of joking around. But with Winter Soldier, it's almost like the Russos knew exactly what it was going to be before they even, like, rolled film, or digital, rather.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, like, if you watch any, I'm sure you can find them online easily. If you watch any of their Community episodes, you can tell, and when you compare it to other Community episodes, like, even though the episodes in Community are well made and everything, you can tell, okay, these are Russo directed episodes. You know their style and you know what they're trying to say, their vision. And that's the same thing with Winter Soldier. It may be under the Marvel banner, it may be Captain America and everything, but this is what they wanted to tell. This is a story they're telling. And the fact that you got Captain America gets shot 3 times, he almost dies, basically. He's in the hospital on a gurney. Everything's dismantled, and they're talking about when Hydra looking over the U.S. government, even the world. They talk about, like, surveillance and everything like that. There's all these little themes here and there of, like, that mirrors our current world and our fear of government conspiracies and this and everything as such. And it's very Metal Gear Solid as well.
Holy shit, I didn't even think about that till you just said
it. Yeah. It's pretty much no need to make a Metal Gear Solid movie. You made it.
Captain America versus, like, Shadow Moses.
Yeah. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. really, Hydra are like the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
They're running everything. The three helicarriers are the Metal Gear Rexes and Rays. Because they're these big machines that's supposed to, like, be the all end all to stop everything. Like, you can't, these will destroy everything. Kind of like the Metal Gears, right? And I think Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes is Gray Fox. Then you got Hydra. You can also say Hydra's the Lali Lulelu and everything like that.
Oh, man. That's a deep reference.
Yeah, and Black Widow is sometimes very Meryl. Falcon is also another, like, Metal Gear character. He's almost like Otacon in a sense.
And Falcon, really, like that. I was always a big Falcon fan, but never in a million years would I ever would have thought they would have did that in a movie and done it well, where it was believable. Like, you had no problem believing that this guy is flying.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the tech there, right? It's also military tech. And that also goes back to Metal Gear Solid. Just everything is so military in Metal Gear Solid. I have, like, a bunch of friends who served in the military, and also they really, like, in depth into this shit. And they say, like, no, like, Kojima and his team does it. Like, everything in the game is exact. Like, even from the weapons, from the way to stance and everything and such.
And they never got in trouble for that. I don't know if you've heard. I'm sure you've heard that story where the guy who wrote the script for Die Hard of the Vengeance ended up getting, like, brought in by the government because basically his knowledge of how the Federal Reserve worked was almost too exact. Yeah. So I wonder how did Kojima not get in trouble? Because, I mean, they were talking about a lot of stuff that, I mean, almost well, feels like it's not out in the open.
Well, I guess because it's under the... Back then, it was like, oh, it's video games, right? Like, who gives a shit about video games? But now it's like, to all you assholes who talk shit about video games. Look, it's a billion-dollar... it runs world, man. We're making movies about video games now, man. Think about it.
Oh, man. So, yeah, what they're sold... Like, I forgot we had talked about that, because now we're just going to have to talk about that at some point again, because... That movie still, I think to this point, might be definitely in my top three favorite Marvel movies.
Yeah, same here. It's definitely their best movie.
Civil War is going to be tough, but at the same time, I was like, I trust the Russos that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think, totally for sure. Civil War will kick ass. Like next year, it's all going to kick ass. All the top three. There was a Civil War, Suicide Squad. That's going to be so bomb, man. That's going to be so wicked.
I hope so. I mean, I hate to be that guy to sound like, you know, the guy, the dude that complains on the internet, but from the pictures and I saw that trailer, I really wasn't convinced. I mean, maybe the movie will come out and it'll look better once it's all together.
Yeah.
But as far as trying to sell the movie, so far I'm not terribly with it yet, but I'll go see it. What else am I going to do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
I do this all the time. I'm like, I'm not going to go see that. I think the only time I said I was going to go see something and stuck with it was probably Fantastic Four. Otherwise, everything else I've gone and seen, and whether I liked it or not is a different story. But look, I bought the ticket, so they got my money at the end of the day. So
yeah. And also, I think it's like, you also got to like, you got to go see it and check it out. There are a bunch of movies where people talk trash about it. But when you go see it, it's like, oh, like, this is a pretty hype movie. This is pretty awesome, you know?
Definitely.
You know what I mean? It's like the best examples are Scarface and Blade Runner. Back in the day, it's all there, the research. No, everybody hated Blade Runner. Well, critics-wise. Same thing with Scarface. It got panned. But now, years later, Christopher Nolan, every time he goes to set, make a movie, he watches Blade Runner. He has Blade Runner playing on set, that from what I've read. And Scarface has basically influenced an entire generation of people.
Yeah, Blade Runner was always a favorite of mine, though, because I know my dad enjoyed it. And even as a kid, I never knew exactly what it was about that movie, but there was just something, they've never made that movie again. They've tried to ape that style, but they've never been able to quite get futuristic movies the way that Blade Runner did.
You know, the thing about Blade Runner is that I remember in film class and back in high school, it pretty much is like a film noir.
Yeah,
it's a detective story, except it's set in the future. They might have taken the production design because you see Blade Runner production design everywhere. But they don't go the film noir aspect of it. They don't actually like devote an entire film to be a detective story. That's the thing.
And even the aesthetics, though, because most movies that go futuristic, and even like, let's say, like The Fifth Element, something along that ilk, it's the future is always represented in this very clean, very sterile type of environment. Whereas Blade Runner, it was dirty. Like it was,
yeah.
And it was, this is of course before it became a buzzword, but it really was a gritty movie because it presented this, the future, not as you normally would see it.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, but also it has to fit into the film noir and detective world, right? Because when you look at all those movies back in the '30s, it was very dirty. It's very grungy. All these detectives are Private Malone and all the Humphrey Bogart movies, they were like, he dressed nice, but everything, they were harsh, like contrast in the blacks, and they got all the smoke and gunfire and all these shady characters and everything. So it's a very dirty world. So with Blade Runner, if you're telling a true to heart film noir, but it's set in the future, then yeah, it should be dirty. If you go into you're basically telling a street story, right?
Right.
If we're going to take it to Scarface, Scarface and Carlito's Way, I like Carlito's Way more.
Yes.
Because it's more very street. It's very urban. It's very like dirty and in your face. Whereas Scarface was just a product of the 80s, the excess.
In a way, it's almost, and the problem is I can't watch that movie now. And it's not because I think it's necessarily bad, but it's hard to watch Scarface now because it's almost so over the top. It's almost comical at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Carlito's Way is really like aged brilliantly.
Yeah. And I think it's because of the setting where it is.
Oh man, this has been so much fun. Steve, thank you so much for hanging out, man. This has been a lot of fun. I don't get to, you know, I talk a lot of comic books and it's I don't really get a chance to geek out for movies much.
Well, we can talk about comic books next time.
Also. Oh, definitely. Like, no, whatever, man. This has been really cool. But before we go, gotta let everybody know where they can find you online.
Okay. So, where you can find me and tell me I'm full of trash and full of crap for all of the stuff I say there. Go to the Twitter handle at Wasted the Show. You can also find me on Facebook. You can just search facebook.com/wastedshow. Or hell, if you want to ad friend me and spam me and tell me I'm crap on my wall and everything, facebook.com/steve.kasan, K-A-S-A-N. I'm also on Instagram too. I'm not hard to find. Just type in Steve Kasan and that's me. And we can talk about Winter Soldier all the time, man. Fantastic Four.
Oh, you know what movie came out this summer that I haven't seen, but once it comes on a Blu-ray, I got to have you back on? Terminator. Yep. I totally forgot about Terminator.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie, but it's definitely the fourth movie.
I've heard that same thing. My sister, I think you said the same thing. It's like, look, it's not better than the first two, especially not the second, but it still fits in there.
Yeah. It fits in, but it's definitely down the line. It knows its place.
Could you imagine that quote? Like when you're seeing like a movie being advertised, like Rolling Stone says, this movie knows its place.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're going to watch Captain America: Civil War. It's a great movie. It's a good Marvel movie. But you know, you have to watch the other movies to see this movie. Well, okay.
Oh, man. Well, that'll do it. That'll do it for Adrian Has Issues. I'll see you next issue.
This is Tom.
This is Jake.
And this is Travis. And we are the Drunken Dork Podcast.
Tune in every week and listen to us discuss the finer points on superheroes, the latest pop culture news, as well as all of our favorite booze.
You can listen to us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or the Stitcher app for Android. And be sure to catch up on all of our episodes by visiting us over at www.drunkendorkpodcast.wordpress.com.
And remember, folks, you have one liver. Ruin it well.